Blog Talk Radio.
Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. It's a new summer era. We don't wanna see the heroes. We fighting against each other. It's the love that we need with one another. You understand? Trust might be love. Knowing through all, keep on going. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Gotta get on your grind, don't confuse your mind. Let that dream come true. Stop playing a fool, chatting to my soul. Praying for forgiveness, never get lost in the world of sin. That's while I'm trying my vision. Seeing knowledge is given, knowing what's been hidden. Living life, only good intentions, not playing the victim. Standing by strength to perfection. Success is your best liquid. Becoming one of noble reflection. Positive vibration in the spirit. Turning for the moment with a blessing. Remember this lesson. Truth be told through these confessions. Why you guessing? Stop stressing. Stop stressing. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold.
Good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday, and welcome to another Sunday of Urban Society. This is a India Morrell production, Dollhouse Radio, and you're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. Okay, tonight we have a few issues to go into. The first one will be the brutalization of a female student. And the second one we're going to go into will be more on cultural appropriation. And then the third issue will be Don Lemon and Raven Simone. Some issues with those two individuals. Excuse me. But first off, I want to say, happy first day of November. And in saying happy first day of November, that also means that we are, as I'll put it, we're just that much deeper into winter. Granted, it's not winter yet, but it's almost here. But a good thing about winter being almost here, to think of it extremely, that also means that it's almost over too. It goes like that as well. Anyway, before we go into our main issue, so to speak, I wanted to relate something personal in a sense. Always on Facebook, I am, and today, well, basically, sometimes when I am on Facebook, my Facebook friends might happen to make a statement, ask a question, and then I read it, and it'll bring back memories to me of things that have happened to me previously. And one thing that I had read on Facebook today from a Facebook friend, she had asked a question. Have you ever been so tired that you put your pajamas on backwards? I guess some of us can relate to that. But anyway, I had replied to her in saying that I felt so tired upon awakening in the mornings, I thought surely I must be sick. Yet after showering, I felt fine. better. That's when I realized I was just tired. Oh, but you're talking about going to bed. I'm talking about waking up. Interesting. I'm never actually tired going to bed, but tired as three people waking up. That hasn't happened yet this year, but it had happened last year somewhat often. I'd wake up and I'd be so tired. I mean, I felt like something must be wrong with me in terms of being ill. I mean, I was so tired. Interesting that was. But also, as I had read there, she was talking about being so tired that you put your pajamas on backward. That's in the process of going to bed. But then I went into how waking up I was so tired. Also, I had mentioned that that with myself, I'm rarely tired when I go to bed. Matter of fact, it's not really a thing about me being tired in the process of going to bed, but I just know that it's time to go to bed, and therefore I should be going to sleep. That's one of those situations. Well, anyway, but what I also had written, what I also had written was a memory that had come back to me based upon her question. And what I had written based upon memory was this. I had written that I was once so tired, but hadn't known how tired I was till I had evidently fallen asleep in the shower and had awakened in my bed. Upon awakening, I felt a peculiar dryness to my skin. I looked at my arms and my chest and my legs, and saw they were ashy. Now, being that my Facebook friend who asked this question is Caucasian, I had to specify ashy, because some Caucasians might not know what ashy means. So I had written that ashy, that's something dark-skinned black folk get when after showering or bathing, and we neglect to use lotion or Vaseline. Anyway, I hadn't remembered I had sought to shower after work that day. Evidently, I had passed out in the shower, but somehow managed to get out of the shower and into bed. So I'm looking at myself and wondering, why does my skin feel so dry, and why am I so ashy? That's when my mind began to send pictures to my brain of me showering and attempting to lay down in the shower. And then I had written, that's how stressed out the situation I was then going through had me. I had already been up for a few days due to stress, which caused sleeplessness. My body finally gave in and crashed. Yep, I never will forget that. I was going through a lot of stuff. And basically, it was that that racist nonsense that I was going through, and that was really my first experience with that nonsense, with that bizarre madness. I couldn't believe what I was going through. But again, you know, it was my first time actually experiencing it at all, and with that intensity that they came at me with that dumb stuff. And that's why, even today, I'm still hot about that. That's why I don't play with those people. I don't play with those people when they come with me in this day and after that with that nonsense. I don't play at all. So that was that. I wanted to have brought that out there, how being on Facebook, people would say certain things and, you know, bring back certain things to the mind. So I also wanted to have brought up another article before we get into the issue of that unfortunate black female student who was attacked in that Spring Valley, South Carolina school. This pertains to the Confederate flag. You know, that issue is still going around. But the article is entitled "Tennessee County That Sided with Union May Celebrate Heritage and History by Flying the Confederate Flag." And the article goes on to say that lawmakers in Tennessee County that was notable for supporting the Union during the Civil War will vote on whether to raise the Confederate flag over their county courthouse, so CNN had reported. County commissioners in Greene County, located in eastern Tennessee, will take a vote on adding the flag, fully aware that the area was despised during the war for not supporting the Confederacy. Let me read that part again. County commissioners in Greene County, located in eastern Tennessee, will take a vote on adding the flag, fully aware that the area was despised during the war for not supporting the Confederacy. And the article goes further to say, if people have a problem with it, it's their problem, said Commissioner Buddy Randolph. According to Randolph, the decision to vote on flying the flag when so many other states and municipalities are banning it is about celebrating those who perished in the war. Greene County recognizes and remembers those who fought for the South, reads Randolph's measure. These efforts of these men to persevere must not be forgotten. Confederate flag represents that heritage and history that our county should be proud of. Local historian, the article goes further to say, Richard Hood believes Randolph has it all wrong, saying the county should be proud of its stance against the Confederacy. Greene County was profoundly anti-Confederate, Hood wrote in a letter published last week in a local paper. Commissioner Randolph may not like this history, but it has the virtue of being factual. He should be celebrating Greene County's heritage of resistance to the Confederacy, not propping up a grotesque distortion of history that debases our true past and offends many, many of our own neighbors. According to Randolph, his proposal is about heritage and has nothing to do with race or anything. And the article went further to say, a vote on the proposal to raise the flag over a community that is 98.4% white will take place at 6 p.m. on Monday, which in fact was last Monday. And being that I wanted to have read this article here in the show tonight, I decided to check on that vote. And it turns out that the proposal didn't pass muster on Monday's meeting, with 20 votes against the measure and just one vote for it. So evidently, the whole legislature voted against the measure to fly the Confederate flag there in Greene County, all except this guy Randolph. So big shout out to Greene County in Tennessee. I mean, they may have had their reasons, but God bless, they decided not to fly that MFN flag anywhere. They ought to burn it, and I mean, just bury it, both. Burn it and bury it. So, okay, that was that. And before that, I wanted to also have brought up another article that I had run across about Quentin Tarantino. We all might know him. He's that director who brought about Pulp Fiction, and I know him through, and also I guess he's the one who also did the Django movie with Jamie Foxx in it. He was the director of that movie as well. But I know him better, or I like him better in the movie that he had did, the Dirty Bastards. It was a movie about Adolf Hitler. It's a long story, but he did a movie about Adolf Hitler and how these group of Americans were actual Nazi hunters. They went over there to hunt down Nazis and kill them. That was an interesting movie that he did, but as most of his movies are, bloody. It was a really, really bloody movie, and thus, I really wonder about that guy. However, even though I wondered about him, I liked having heard about his most recent stance. And then what that stance had pertained to was Quentin Tarantino protest brutality in New York. And the article goes on to say that Academy Award winning filmmaker Quentin Tarantino joined hundreds of demonstrators waving signs, shouting through megaphones, and marching along the city streets on Saturday to protest police brutality nationwide. And it says here that he had said this, they have it in quotes. But before we go there, we're going to go into our first music break, and we're going to hear a music song from Bobby Valentino featuring Miss Sean and Jay Owens. This song is entitled Freaking You. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to Urban Society here on Indy Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. And we just heard the song from Bobby Valentino featuring Michonne and Jay Owens entitled Freaking You. So our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. Excuse me. And right now I'm on this article about Quentin Tarantino in support of the Black Lives Matter movement and the protests that had taken place in New York City last week. And lastly, I was going to read a quote that he is quoted to have said. And this is what he said here. He said that I'm a human being with a conscience. And if you believe there's murder going on, then you need to rise up and stand up against it. I'm here to say I'm on the side of the murdered. He went further to say, when I see murders, I do not stand by. When I see murderers, I do not stand by. I have to call a murderer a murderer and have to call the murderers the murderers. So no, let me read that again. He said, when I see murders, I do not stand by. I have to call a murder a murder, and I have to call the murderers the murderers. Excuse me. And he goes, let's see here further. The article goes to say that the event was the last of three demonstrations the group Rise Up October organized in New York this week, which was last week in October. Speakers at the protest said they were to bring justice for people killed by police. Let me see here. The article goes further to say that the rally occurred just days after an NYPD cop, Randolph Holder, was fatally shot on Tuesday night in Manhattan's East Harlem neighborhood. Well, I don't know about if the rest of the country had heard about this this most recent cop having been killed, a police officer by the name of Randolph Holder. But we here in New York, it was all over the news here. And naturally, there are those who say that, Black Lives Matter basically are the precipitators of these recent police shootings, as if they forget that, it's not part of a cop's job to be shot, but the probability more so, of them being shot at is often. Unfortunately, that's a risk of the job. And then even concerning that, I guess somebody had asked him, Tarantino, about that. Why have this rally in the face of this police officer having been killed? And Tarantino responded by saying, it's like this. It's unfortunate timing, but we've flown in all these families to go and tell their stories. That cop that was killed, that's a tragedy too, which it is. I mean, that goes against the grain of those who are talking about Black Lives Matter and people who are concerned about police brutality or anti-police. That's just a spin that they're trying to put out there to detract from the Black Lives Matter movement and the fact that Black lives do matter. I mean, those people who come forth with that kind of reasoning, they are in a sense saying that, in a sense, yes, they are saying that Black lives don't matter, and therefore you need to shut up talking that. That's what they're basically saying. So, okay, let me move swiftly through this article here about this, but also something that I have found interesting about the timing of this situation also with the protest and also the police officer having been killed. It says here that the Reverend Al Sharpton dedicated his weekly radio broadcast and rally at his National Action Network headquarters to Holder, who was the cop who was shot and killed. Sharpton and others went to the Brooklyn neighborhood where Holder served to lay a wreath and pray for him and his family. I guess that no doubt is Sharpton, you know, I guess doing something like that to further enhance his standing on his show that he does on MSNBC, which I rarely watch, honestly, if I watch it at all. I really don't watch his show. Because I kind of feel I would like it better if someone like a Michael Eric Dyson were doing the show that he does, more so if he was hosting that show, Michael Eric Dyson, as opposed to Reverend Al Sharpton. But that's another story. But also concerning that same article about Tarantino being in New York, joining the protests there, this article here talks about police union calls for Tarantino movie boycott after cops murders rally. Let me read that again. It's just the way that they word this heading. Let me read that again. Police union calls for Tarantino movie boycott after cop murderers rally. Oh, that's they're saying as if the ones who were at the rally murdered this cop. Outrageous. Anyway, This article says that the New York Police Union is calling for a boycott of Quentin Tarantino's films following the director's involvement in an anti-cop rally that took place on Saturday in Washington Square Park, the New York Post reports. And it goes further to say that in a statement Sunday, which was last Sunday, Patrick Lynch, we might recall his name from before when those two police officers were ambushed by that apparently mentally disturbed black guy here in New York. Anyway, it says here, in a statement Sunday, Patrick Lynch, president of the Patrolmen's Benevolent Association, called Tarantino a purveyor of degeneracy who has no business coming to our city to peddle his slanderous cop fiction. And it goes further to say that, and they have it in quotes, so I guess this is still this Patrick Lynch speaking. He needs to shut up, honestly. But it says that it's no surprise that someone who makes a living glorifying crime and violence is a cop hater, too. The police officers that Quentin Tarantino calls murderers aren't living in one of his depraved big screen fantasies. They're risking and sometimes sacrificing their lives to protect communities from real crime and mayhem. Added, it's time for a boycott of Tarantino's films. Isn't that something? You see, this thing really has the police really uptight. This Black Lives Matter movement and people being concerned about Black lives actually mattering. That police union, the Patrolmen's Benevolent Association, really has what's a good word for that? They really have concern. Negative concern, and I mean over concern about this movement. But in a real sense, they ought to be concerned about those cops who just can't help shooting unarmed people and unarmed black people in particular. That's where their concern really should be. But evidently, they're not concerned about that at all. But again, there's more on that issue as well. But moving right along. I got to keep my eye on the breaks that we take here. But moving right along, let's see here. Okay, we're going to go on into the situation of that happening there in Spring Valley, South Carolina. But just saying, there is a Spring Valley, New York here as well. And I recall last week when I began to first hear about this situation and see it on the news, I actually thought that it was basically right down the street from me, Spring Valley, New York, which is not really right down the street, which it may be. Spring Valley, New York is about 15 minutes away from where I live at. But I'm thinking Spring Valley, but then later on they finally put out Spring Valley, South Carolina. I don't know why the media does that, you know. But then again, I mean, I was thinking, well, no. There has to be more than one Spring Valley in this country. But I don't know, just hearing Spring Valley automatically, I thought, oh, hell, right across the bridge. But it wasn't. Neither here nor there, because it could have just as well happened there as well. Because racism is here, racism is there. Racism, you know, permeates our society. No matter where we go, there it is. But anyway, what I had thought about upon first seeing via our media about that situation, I was on Facebook again, and what I had written then was, I had written this. I said, I'm wondering why the parents of this child haven't spoken out. Then, too, I'm wondering if the media has sought out the parents of this child. We're hearing from everyone else. Then, too, isn't it interesting that if that child or any child were to come to school or gave a report to police, they have been treated at home as that police person in Spring Valley, South Carolina, treated that schoolgirl, they would have been arrested for child endangerment. I couldn't help but think that. And then again, in reference to Dr. Stacey Patton, she had written an article also, And I happened to notice that her thinking and my thinking were somewhat in sync on this issue, because after all, among other things that Dr. Stacey Patton is involved with, she's also what's called a child advocate. You know, she's very much against abusing children, and very much against, you know, whooping children and things of that nature, violence upon children. You know, I mean, children, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 year olds. And then again, I had written, you know, otherly that I guess we never. I said, I guess we never noticed the contradiction in this. Our states require school employees to report suspicions of child abuse at home. So why do so many of them allow and even encourage the same employees to hit children with wooden boards, placing them at risk for physical and psychological harm? Matter of fact, that's what Dr. Stacey Patton had written. That's not what I wrote. I see now that as I went further in there, that's what she had written. So let me read that part again. She had written that actually, I had written just that first sentence concerning, I guess we never noticed the contradiction in this. And then Dr. Patton had written, our state requires school employees to report suspicions of child abuse at home. So why do so many of them allow and even encourage the same employees to hit children with wooden boards, placing them at risk for physical and psychological harm? Yes. And I forget the article wherein she had written that, but I do have it here, and I'll give out the name of that, the title of that article later on in the show, because I think it is, in fact, well worth reading. Definitely so. As a matter of fact, in my opinion, I think anything that Dr. Stacey Patton writes is worth reading. So, now going on into the article, well, these articles that I have on this horrific situation, that's what I call it, horrific, the way that cop did this child. Out motherfucking rageous, honestly. Normally I say out MF and rageous, but later for that. It was just out motherfucking rageous the way that cop did that that young girl. And as we know by now, he was fired. God bless for that. At least that did happen to his sorry self. Anyway, the article goes that a South Carolina sheriff's deputy seen hurling a student to the ground and then dragging her across the floor in a widely viewed video has been fired. Richland County Sheriff Leon Lott said Wednesday Deputy Ben Fields has been on administrative leave since the Monday incident. And he said that the department's investigation into Fields' conduct was complete in just 48 hours. But even as he announced Fields' firing, Lott appeared to defend the deputy's actions and shift at least some of the blame for the encounter to the student, whom he described as very disruptive and very disrespectful. Now, I want to stop there. And, well, those of us who've seen that video, I mean, where, when did we see that child being very disruptive and very disrespectful? We didn't see that. But yet, that's what is written, and by some, that's what is seen. And how they saw that, I know not. And the article goes further to say, and they have these words in quote, so I guess it's probably still that that sheriff who's saying this. He said, we must not lose sight that the whole incident was started by this student. The violent classroom arrest at Spring Valley High School in Columbia prompted a local investigation from the Sheriff's Department, the state's attorney's office, as well as a federal probe into whether Fields, who is white, violated the rights of the 16-year-old student, who is black. They really had to have an investigation about that. Check that out. If he violated, but again, violated her civil rights. What about having violated her person? And I guess we could say what? Her human rights, even. I mean, wow, words. out MFing rages, just out MFing rages. The article goes on to say that Richland School District 2 Superintendent Debbie Ham on Tuesday called Phil's actions outrageous and unforgivable. Unforgivable. But having said that, I have to stop at this point, and we're going to have our next break, which is from Sheree Lurie, her song entitled Mirage. So this is Sheree Lurie, Mirage. We'll be right back. Here on Indie Morrell Dollhouse Radio. Okay, we just heard a song from Sheree Lurie entitled Mirage. That was Sheree Lurie and her song called Mirage. You can call us here at area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And right now we're talking about the article of that unfortunate happening with that young girl there in Spring Valley, South Carolina. Outrageous situation, just totally outrageous. Anyway, I'm still in this article here, but first I want to say again that at least that superintendent, Debbie Hahn, did call that cop's actions outrageous and unforgivable. And the article goes further to say that students filmed the encounter in the classroom and the video went viral. On Tuesday, Loft, sheriff, on Tuesday, Loft called the footage disturbing, but denied race was a factor because Fields has been dating an African-American woman for quite some time. Isn't that something? How easily they seek to dismiss the racial factor, the racial component. And then again, many people, they believe that. They gobble it right up and say, oh, it can't be about race. He has a black girlfriend. Outrageous. But, you know, even speaking about that, based upon my own personal situation, I had once been in a situation just like that, wherein because of what was happening, and I was at a work site, and the guy that I was trying to be reasonable with, but he wasn't having it. He decided to take me to the boss of the place where I was working. And then we went to the boss's office. He told me to come with him, and I came with him. He took me to the boss's office, and he said his piece, and then I said my piece. And then the boss of this site, he asked me, well, Mr. Jones, maybe he called me Mr., neither here nor there, but he said, well, James, do you think he's racist, being racist? I said, well, yes, I do. And then this guy then asked me, what would you say if I told you that his wife is black? I couldn't believe he said that to me. I mean, so I had to explain to him. Well, I had said, just because he's married, or more so, I said, just because he likes one black person, that don't mean he likes all black people. I mean, that's, anyway, that was thrown to me like that, like that's supposed to what, change my mind, you know, the way this clown was on my back, like white on rice, whatever. Anyway, I was fired from that job. He told me, well, he said, well, based upon what you're saying, then that means that you don't want to work. But I didn't tell him nothing like I didn't want to work. But that's what he decided, that I didn't want to work. Whatever. So, and I just said that because of what that sheriff has said about, you know, it can't be a race thing because this guy is his girlfriend is black. But what I think about that is that no doubt that's how he treat that girl who is black that he's supposedly in love with. I mean, if he would do that girl, young girl, child like that, we can imagine how he would do an adult who is black, even though she is around him, no doubt. Anyway, and that same sheriff, he has the audacity to say, as in any incident, videos are very useful to us. We're glad the students took the videos. But he cautioned that videos are just a snapshot and don't tell the complete picture. I mean, what other picture should what we saw tell? There's no other way to interpret what we saw. And the article goes further to say that the aggressive discipline is just one example of the school-to-prison pipeline. There's that phrase again. The aggressive discipline is just one example of the school-to-prison pipeline phenomenon in which black children are more likely to be criminalized for their behavior than their white peers. More to be said on that later. They talk about the school-to-prison pipeline. I wonder, well, anyway, well, they're talking like that's an ingredient in it, but that's just a part of it. That's just a part of it. Just, you know, shut up and just lay down and go to jail, something like that. So, okay, continuing on with this article here, it says that this lot says again that I don't feel proper procedures were used at this point. The maneuver he used was not based on training or acceptable. Interesting. And it goes on to say that the 16-year-old student and one of her peers in the class were both charged with disturbing the schools. Lott said Wednesday that he understood the charges against the students have not been dropped. Now, that was something else too, that that girl who had been brutalized like that, she is still charged with a criminal offense. And also, so is that other young girl who just spoke up, stood up and spoke up to that beastly caveman who had done this to this young girl. She was just speaking up according to what she said. I seen her interview on the news, and it was also written of. She was telling stuff like, you know, this is like she was saying, this can't be real. You can't be doing this. I guess she was saying, what's wrong with you? And he told her, shut up, or I'll have you down here too. You know, can you believe that? But yes, so she was arrested also, the girl who stood up for the other girl. Just out MFing rages, just out MFing rages. Then also, still in this article, I have another article here. It says that life is even harder now for the South Carolina teen assaulted by ex-deputy Ben Fields. She's in foster care. I mean, that was somewhat evident. Well, it wasn't really evident, but the girl who had stood up for her and during an interview she was giving, she had said that basically she had stood up for the girl because she knew that the girl had nobody, or more so that she was alone. And, well, me in hearing that, initially I had thought perhaps she means that the girl is, you know, like a recluse, a loner, somebody who stays to themselves and don't have many friends. That's how I had initially took that, you know, when the girl said that, you know, she was alone. But I hadn't thought that she may, you know, be alone in terms of no mother, no father, not like that. But it does, in fact, turn out that the child is in foster care. I mean, there's not much written as to how or why she's in foster care, if she is in foster care at all. But then again, I was listening to another radio show the other night that another Facebook friend does, and she was speaking about how the child had issues, I mean, like mental issues in a real sense, you know, and, you know, mentally challenged and things of that nature, which caused her to be so quiet, which, again, goes against what that sheriff was talking about, how she was highly disruptive, and that other word he had used, which we don't see any of that in the video. Okay, but let's see here. It says that Sheriff, well, no, not that part. It says here that in an interview with the Daily News, Todd Rutherford, the respected Columbia, South Carolina attorney representing the assault victim of the recently terminated Deputy Ben Fields, revealed that his client, in addition to suffering injuries on her face, neck, and arm, is living in foster care. That's all that we have thus far about her situation. The article goes further to say that while her identity no doubt will eventually be leaked to the media, it's the goal of her foster mother to protect and care for her as well as she can, considering the circumstances. She communicated to us that the young victim is devastated and emotionally traumatized by all that has happened to her. It's like, how can she not be? Outrageous. And then this article goes further to say that school, as you can imagine, could be particularly tough for a young girl who has experienced so much pain and loss in her young life. To think that she has now suffered police brutality and is facing trumped-up criminal charges for age-appropriate classroom behavior is just despicable. But check out that phrase, though. It says that concerning trumped-up charges for age-appropriate classroom behavior. Outrageous the way things are worded. You know, that's that lawyer talk in a real sense, administrative talk. Terrible. And then the article goes on to say that some trauma cannot be undone. The experience of police brutality is an example of such trauma. I can attest to that because I have been, I won't necessarily say brutalized, but I'm stronger than that because what had wanted to have been done to me wasn't done to me. I was able to withstand that nonsense and still remain on my feet. But I never will forget the way three cops beat on me without cause, and I'm in handcuffs. And they were doing a job on me, too. I heard all three of them huffing and puffing while they were throwing blows on me. But I can tell you, though, like the next day, my body was sore as sore could be sore. I felt like Arnold Schwarzenegger in one of his movies, you know, how he done fell through some window and somebody drug him 10,000 miles, so to speak, and he wake up the next morning. Well, he finally get away to wake up the next morning, and he's barely able to move. That's how I was the next morning after the cops beat on me like that, the bastards. But anyway, the article goes, I had to laugh at that. But anyway, but at least I can laugh at that now. But it is not funny, and as I said, I do not forget. I will not forget. And I hope the day will come, can come, when I'll be able to do some payback, honestly. But who knows? But still, time goes on. And like I last read there, it says the experience of police brutality is an example of such trauma. Some trauma cannot be undone. And the article goes further to say that our kids, who already face enormous pressure in life, should never be subjected to state-sponsored violence while in school. For this young girl, Spring Valley High School should have been a refuge. Instead, it was something far worse. And yes, it was. Yes, it definitely was. Just out MF and rages. And I still have another article here, but I might have to skip that because basically I do believe that it's also saying the same thing of this other article here. But also, well, this article says, it speaks about the NAACP president, says the civil rights group is deeply concerned with the aggressive nature of an officer's arrest of a female student, and he believes race played a role in the arrest. He believes that. It's obvious that it does, primarily because, all right, in my opinion, this is the reason why, in my opinion, race does play a role. And as I said elsewhere, if not race, definitely racism. Racism coming from that officer who did that young black child as he did her. Basically, my thinking is like that, knowing, if it had been a white child, that would have never happened. Not to such severity, or not to such an extreme. I mean, the way he grabbed that girl, that little girl, in the sense of how big he was. Well, granted, the girl is 16 years old, but still, a child. I mean, what mother or father right now, having a 16-year-old, don't still consider that 16-year-old, male or female, a child, their child? Matter of fact, even when a person grows up to be an adult, to that mother and father, that is still a child. That is still their child. So still, 16, a child. But yet, evidently, that cop didn't see her as a child. He seen her as somebody black. That's all he saw. Nothing else. And evidently that just enraged him. Based upon his position, his position, number one or secondarily, but primarily his mindset. Him being white and then again somebody black is going to disregard what he's saying. The nerve, the audacity, the gall. And then it was like, bitch, you better get out that chair. And he just sought to just snatch her out the chair, just as we saw him. And then also, it was even said something about a third video. I was watching one of the briefings that this Sheriff Lott was giving, and he talked about don't be so quick to jump to conclusions. Because we've seen two videos, but there's a third video out. And, I couldn't help but wonder to myself, a third video? What can it show other than what has already been shown? There was nothing hid there. I mean, plain, obvious to a duck, a phrase I like to use, that that was in plain sight. But having said that, I'm going to stop there because we have to go into our next music break, which is from Nicki Minaj, her record entitled Dem Trini Girls. So Dem Trini Girls, this is Nicki Minaj, Dem Trini Girls. We'll be right back.
Bricks them girls, them a pop the boom boom, them a wind up them waist, them a pop the boom boom. Queens them girls, them a pop the boom boom, them a wind up them waist, them a pop the boom boom. Trini them girls, them a pop the boom boom, them a wind up them waist, them a pop the boom boom. Jamaican girls, them a pop the boom boom, them a wind up them waist, them a pop the boom boom.
Yo, he in love with a ghetto girl. He said he want a piece like Mother World. Pat pat on the kitty cat. He don't mess with them regulars. He tryna kick it like a ninja. He don't ever play the benches, so I'ma let him touch it, they be playing with some engines.
I know that you want it, I see that you watching, you love when I whine it. You know that I'm sexy, I hope that you ready to come here and get it.
With it, I got them.
Bitch, them girls, them a pot, they boom, boom, them a whine up, them waist, them a pot, they boom, boom. Queens, them girls, them a pot, they boom, boom, them a whine up, them waist, them a pot, they boom, boom. Trini them girls, them a pop the boom boom, them a wind up them waist, them a pop the boom boom. Jamaican girls, them a pop the boom boom, them a wind up them waist, them a pop the boom boom.
Put it in his face like a cop badge. He wanna pun it like a hashtag. He gon' have to get the wash rag. If he shoot it up, I'ma bust back. Them island girls is the baddest. American girls run the planet. South African, European, Asian, Australian, and my Canadian girl. I know that you want it.
Bricks them girls, them a pop the boom boom, them a wind up them waist, them a pop the boom boom. Queens them girls, them a pop the boom boom, them a wind up them waist, them a pop the boom boom. Trini them girls, them a pop the boom boom, them a wind up them waist, them a pop the boom boom. Jamaican girls, them a pop the boom boom, them a wind up them waist, them a pop the boom boom.
All the bad boys try to push up on me. If you want a bad girl, come and spend his money. Say it tastes good. Like honey, in love with a girl from the islands and not a miniskirt love. I know that you want it. I see that you watching. You love when I whine it. You know that I'm sexy. I hope that you're ready to come here and get it. With it, I got them.
Bricks them girls, them a pop the boom boom, them a wind up them waist, them a pop the boom boom. Queens them girls, them a pop the boom boom, them a wind up them waist, them a pop the boom boom. Trini them girls, them a pop the boom boom, them a wind up them waist, them a pop the boom boom. Jamaican girls, them a pop the boom boom, them a wind up them waist, them a pop the boom boom.
Okay, welcome back to Urban Society on Indy Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. Okay, we just heard a song from Nicki Minaj entitled Dem Trini Girls. That was Nicki Minaj entitled Dem Trini Girls. But just saying, when I first seen that title, I thought she was talking about the transsexual guys. Okay, but no, it turns out that when she's saying Dem Trini Girls, I'm assuming she's talking about Trinidadians. Women from Trinidad. I hadn't realized that before, but I think I'm realizing that now, and I think that's more so true than not true. So, our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And we're still on this article about the brutalization of that young girl there in Spring Valley, South Carolina, by this obviously racist, beastly cop. But as I was last saying, that sheriff had spoken in one of his press conferences about a third video. And he purported that in this third video, we would see how the girl, in fact, initiated aggression, was aggressive toward him. It's just amazing what people see, others to see, but what they want us to see is just not there. And saying that, I will say that I guess I did happen to see that video. I didn't see that video because there was they were going to, on one of the news channels, they had the video, and they were at this point going to dissect the video and then show where the girl was being aggressive toward the officer in terms of hitting him in his chest, you know. But then I didn't see that video, but later on they had shown that third video, and I happened to have seen it. And what I saw, what they call him, or more so what they call her being aggressive toward him, being violent toward him, and hitting him in his chest, was when he had her in that neck bear hug. I mean, what was she supposed to do? She couldn't do nothing but, you know what, flay her arms out. Her fists were balled up, which they should have been, to protect herself, to defend herself. Anybody would do that, but yet they're gonna say that she was aggressive toward him. I mean, I could ask, where do they get that from? How can they see that when that's not even what it is? Or if it is that, they don't see what produced that. They don't see what caused that. It was that guy's violent behavior that caused that girl to, get off me, to be swinging like that. That's not her being hostile in a actual hostile sense. That's her being, what, defensive. If anything, there's a word for that. If one can call it aggression, that could be considered responsive aggression. Unfortunately, it wasn't responsive enough, because unfortunately, she didn't have the strength of a hawk to knock a hole in his chest. That would have been responsive aggression in that sense. But basically, she was just trying to fend him off her. But alas, you know, these people, and then again, they stand up there, you know, the news media people stand up there supposedly dissecting the video to show, look, right there, right there is where she, I didn't see that part, but I'm only imagining that that's what they did. Hey, I mean, the news media is something else. Like Malcolm X said a long time, I mean, the media can have you loving your enemy and hating your friend, because they show you what they want to show you, and at the same time, they are explaining to you what you're seeing. And if you're dumb enough to believe that, well, God bless you. Honestly, God bless you. So still going along in these articles, but I think there was something else that was coming to mind also still about that article. Well, okay, in essence, I've said what I said about that sheriff and him talking about a third video. And once that third video is seen, we'll have more information on the situation. Outrageous. Just out-MF-ing-rageous. Okay, so moving right along. Okay, but also something else before I guess I'm still moving right along and even saying what I'm going to say now. I was reading some things and also listening to some things when they were talking about the disparity in treatment of black children in schools and white children in school. I was hearing one person, another of my Facebook friends, she was on the radio show of another Facebook friend last night, and she was somewhat delineating what, let's say, white children are suspended for, and then again, what black children are suspended for, or the infractions, let us say, that white children are charged with and what black children are charged with. They were saying, like, when white children are charged with something. It's like for breaking a window, throwing something, you know, kicking the teacher, punching the teacher. But it was also said that yet when black children are charged with these infractions, they are more so subjective than not, such as they might roll their eyes, and the teacher sees that as some kind of defiance. They might, you know, click their tongue, you know, on the roof of their mouth, and the teacher sees that as some kind of defiance. Or they just might walk away when the teacher is talking to them, and the teacher might say, "Come back," and they just keep stepping. That's defiance. And at that point, a cop, like this cop, might be called on the scene. Out in effing rages. And also I have something here about Don Lemon and Sonny Hostin. I didn't see his show either because I don't watch him no more. Also, I've been turned off from him ever since the Ferguson situation. Him reporting on Ferguson, I stopped watching him then. You know, because I got an article here. Let's see, what is it entitled? It's entitled "Don Lemon Needs Facts About Spring Valley Heist." Wait, Don Lemon needed facts about Spring Valley High student, and former federal prosecutor Sonny Hostin gave him facts. It says here that, in Lemon's opinion, he needed more information before passing judgment, because seeing a student being dragged across the floor by someone twice her size wasn't enough. And they have quotes here, I guess, to what Lemon is saying. He's saying, "We don't know what happened. You weren't sitting in the room." He's talking to Sonny Hostin. "You don't know if she wasn't standing up. You do need to know more. And as a prosecutor, you should want to know more." That's what Lemon said. And then it says that Sonny Hostin reminded him that the officer should have assessed the situation to see if necessary force was needed, especially since the student was just sitting in her seat. Sonny Hostin said, "The law provides that the standard here is whether or not the officer has to use this type of force, whether it's reasonable and necessary to somehow secure discipline in school." And it goes further to say that Sonny Hostin is still telling this Don Lemon character, "The bottom line is, this is a young girl. This is a girl in school. There's no justification for using that kind of force. Whether or not that force is justifiable is the issue. And force is not justifiable. She is sitting there. She is not resisting. She is sitting there in a chair. That is unreasonable force. That is excessive force. And it's assault." That's what Sonny Hostin says, which is something Don Lemon supposedly can't get his head around. That's been an issue also, that a lot of people in this country, black as well as white, they would more so see it the way Don Lemon has seen it. That, so they say, they need more facts to make a judgment as to what happened. The video itself wasn't enough. To have seen what we saw wasn't enough. Outrageous. Just out MF outrageous. But okay, I'm going through my articles here. But what I would also say is, well, first off, I will say thank goodness for Facebook, because of Facebook, what I had seen that someone had posted a video. And in the background was the CNN logo, but I don't know if it was on CNN or not. you know, CNN sometimes have these presentations. They have supposedly regular citizens sitting in an audience type situation, and then talking about the issue that is in the public eye right now. And in this presentation, there was a black guy who was up there talking about this situation. And in a real sense, I really loved what he was saying, because basically he said just what I thought and was thinking, and no doubt what a lot of other black men, and I'll say white men as well, and also women too, I'm quite sure they thought like this also. He was saying that he has said that if it had been his child, that's what he said. He has said that if it had been his child being fired from his job, that cop, that would have been the least of that cop's worries. He has said because in a real sense, he would have been at that school real fast, if that had been his child. And I'm quite sure that there are many other people in this country or throughout the world who feel the same. If that had been their child, being fired would have been the least of that cop's worries. And he went on, and he was really talking. And then at one point, because of the way he was speaking, one of the moderators of this panel type situation had said to the guy, "Well, you need not make threats." And the black guy had to tell him, "I'm not making threats." But I had to wonder to myself, what made that moderator, who was evidently white, feel that this black guy was making threats? But I guess some would say that that was just the white fear of us in him coming out. But no, I wouldn't necessarily say that. I would say that that's just his misunderstanding of what that black guy was saying coming out. Because again, this also goes back into what that sheriff had said pertaining to that girl being hostile, that young girl being hostile, being aggressive. And he said that this will be clearly shown in the third video. I guess to some people, it was clearly shown that the girl was hostile, that she was aggressive. But then again, to other people, where? What the F is he talking about? Where's the aggression? The only aggression that I see, that we saw, was that cop being aggressive still. He had her choked up. I mean, he had her choked up, hemmed up, and just threw her on the floor. I mean, not just threw her on the floor, but threw her and the desk both on the floor. Once he threw the desk on the floor, she came rolling out the desk. And then that's when he jumped out of some more. Out MF and rages. And then again, I happen to have seen this other article. Well, no. Again, one of my Facebook friends had mentioned someone named Brenda Woods. I understand that she's somewhere down there in Atlanta, Georgia. She's some talking head on some media outlet. And she was talking about this incident. And at least she did say that the cop did use excessive force. Then she put the "but" in there. And, you know, somebody once told me, I disagreed with him, but I had to also tell him. All right, let me tell you what he told me. He and I were talking once, and I was making a point to him. And then I used the word "but" to take my point further. And he said, no. He said, "Man, come on. Anything out the butt is bullshit." I said, "Yo, where'd you get that from?" But then again, I understand that he had been incarcerated for a while too. And I guess in there, they you get a lot of people who see a lot of things up in there. But then again, not just in there, but out here too. But for him, because he had been incarcerated, I kind of figure that's where he got that from. He's going to tell me, no, anything out the butt is bullshit. I say, "Yo, man, that can be true, but it's also not true." But see, I understood where he was coming from when he said that anything out the butt is bullshit, but that's, I had to tell him, not necessarily so. But then again, in this case, in this woman case, that's exactly what it was. When she had finished saying that the cop's actions, reactions were excessive, then she threw in the but. And then anything after that but that she put in there was complete, absolute bullshit. It really was. It really was. And I saw that instantly because she began to, conflate and or mix the issue she just spoke about with issues in other schools and with other children, not like this girl was. She had said, she went on to say that, well, officers are needed in schools because, children today are violent. Children today are aggressive. Children today do need to be controlled and things of that nature. She was going on and on and on and on and on. But however, none of that pertained to what we saw in that video. That girl, I already said what I said about that. But anyway, this Brenda Wood, she went on and on and on about that. So what I had written a response to that because, as I said, a Facebook friend had put that out, and I hadn't at that time seen what this woman had said. But after I had seen what this woman had said, I had written that if she wasn't saying nonsense like that in reference to what happened in Spring Valley, South Carolina, she'd not be in a position to be on TV. Our society really needs black folk like that. Just like on the slave plantation, the system of slavery needed blacks who looked the other way about the victimization of themselves and other blacks. It's just like that and was like that. And it's like that today also. Okay. And in reference to that guy I had just talked about, I had also responded on Facebook by having written this. The guy whom I had said made a statement about if that was his child, that cop's least worry would have been getting fired. Anyway, I had written in reference to that, yes, there are those of us who exist outside of the media narrative, speaking as if black men in particular don't care about what we see in reference to the abuse dished out to ourselves and then black children too. I wrote further that I love hearing this brother say what so many black men do feel and have felt in reference to seeing and or hearing about racist grown men putting their racist filthy hands on black children. Indeed. But also, something I wanted to have also brought up is I was watching the other morning the Melissa Harris Perry show. And on her show, I was surprised but not surprised that basically the segment about this issue basically was last on her show. However, I really watched her show to see what she was going to say about this situation. And I hadn't thought, and it wasn't so, but anyway, I want to say that I hadn't thought that she'd be one of those who would blame the child for that happening. And God bless she wasn't, because at least she's not like that, this Melissa Harris Perry. But anyway, on her show, I happened to have heard for a second time that phrase, the perfect victim. In other words, it's like the child in this situation was not a perfect victim, or still is not the perfect victim. Now, as I said, I've heard this phrase for the second time now. The first time that I heard this phrase was after the Michael Brown killing. And this phrase came out after the Justice Department had done their investigation exonerating Darren Wilson and therefore saying that Michael Brown was the cause of his own death. That's the first time I heard that phrase, this phrase, the perfect victim. And the person that I heard this phrase from well, not necessarily heard it from, but read it from. He wrote it. This guy, Jonathan Capehart. He is on the MSNBC network. He's one of the media panelists, a black guy, is on that show, Jonathan Capehart. He, as far as I know, he coined that phrase. Maybe he didn't exactly coin it, but he put it in print, because actually that sounds like the phrase a white person might say in reference to somebody black. Something totally, just egregious in a real sense. Hearing it is somewhat egregious. But anyway, the perfect victim. Do we know what that is? Or what that is supposed to mean? Or, yes, just that. It's supposedly that somehow, some way, there are people who hear about these outrageous actions against black people or against a black individual, and they feel that somehow that person is not perfect, that person somehow did something to bring that on themselves. So in other words, the perfect victim in that kind of, well, how can I put it, the perfect victim in a mind like that would actually have to be something done to some black person who is totally, completely, absolutely unoffending in any way whatsoever. Now, one might ask, how can that be? But that's nonsense. That's ludicrous. That's going into their bullshit trying to rationalize something that can't be rationalized. But by saying the perfect victim, they all of a sudden cover up a whole lot with just that phrase, perfect victim. Michael Brown wasn't the perfect victim. This young girl wasn't the perfect victim. Walter Scott in South Carolina, he wasn't the perfect victim. Eric Garner in this phraseology wasn't the perfect victim. Sean Bell, and it goes on and on and on and on and on. None of them were the perfect victim, according to a mindset like that. Anyway, in reference to that perfect victim bullshit, I had to say it like that because that's what it is. That's what it is. And I heard it for the second time, and it just actually irked me. It really did. Anyway, I had written this when I heard that. I had said that perfect victim, that's question mark. What the hell does that mean? What criteria does one who used that phrase ascribe to one that makes him or her a perfect victim? I think it's one of those phrases made up of words that seek to obscure what is evidently perfectly clear. I've heard that phrase for a second time today, watching Melissa Harris Perry, one of her guests, use this phrase as they were discussing the Spring Valley, South Carolina issue. It's possible the phrase was coined by Jonathan Capehart of MSNBC when he had written an article in reference to Michael Brown of Ferguson, Missouri. After the Justice Department's investigation into the killing of Michael Brown and deciding Michael Brown was responsible for his own death and that Darren Wilson was justified in killing him, Capehart decided he was wrong in thinking Michael Brown was innocent. He then wrote how Michael Brown wasn't out in effing rages. But yes, so I'll say this. I guess we're going to be hearing that phrase more often now. And more so than not, from someone who is Caucasian and some media talking head. I don't think you'll ever hear it from Sean Hannity or that other idiot, Bill O'Reilly. I don't think you will hear it from them. But you might hear it again from that Jonathan Capehart individual. And also you might hear it from some other media personality on MSNBC. And you might hear it from Don Lemon. I'll put it like that. And you might even, I don't know, well, you might hear it from Whoopi Goldberg, if that's her name. Whoopi, I can't even pronounce her name, but I can at least pronounce that first part, Whoopi. I don't watch her either. But anyway, still, I only got a few minutes left here. We didn't even, well, as usual, but there's always next week. Time is always, moving right along. And also, if we know it or not, I would imagine that by now many of us are aware that the time situation does go back tonight. It's that thing about fall back, spring forward. But concerning that, nowadays, really, who wears watches anyway? I mean, most people today have cell phones with the clock on it, automated, and therefore when the time goes back, we need not adjust that dial. It goes back automatically. And then again, we also have, because of the cable situation, the time automatically goes back there. So I guess nowadays, those of us, but then again, some people still do wear watches. It's true. I think it's a bit redundant, but that's just my opinion. And but anyway, time does go back tonight, and I guess we should be aware of that. But also, even concerning time, I always think about this when I think about time. I'm going elsewhere because time is running out, and I don't really want to start on nothing else so quickly and get bogged down in that, and then we have to just sign off. But anyway, the last poets, the first rappers, I consider them having been the first rappers. They came out in the late 60s during the black protest situation. Not necessarily civil rights movement, but during the black protest, because they came up during a time when the Black Panthers, I think they came up before the Black Panthers, or their time when they came up, they were contemporary with the Black Panther Party situation. But anyway, they had put together some words about time, and let me see if I still remember them correctly. They had said this concerning time in one of their poems. I don't recall the whole poem, but it went like this. They had said that time is a ship on a merciless sea, drifting toward an abscess of nothingness until it can be recharted for its own destiny. But time ain't for real. That's real. And if you notice there, the but was put there. But after the but was the realest part. So again, that debunks what my friend had said, that anything out the but is bullshit. I tried to tell him then, that's true but not true. Or it's true in some cases but not true in all cases. So let me say that again concerning time. Time is a ship on a merciless sea, drifting toward an abscess of nothingness until it can be recharted for its own destiny. But time ain't for real. It's got to be true like that, because if we consider if time was for real, it would be the same everywhere. Have to be. Like, for instance, right now it's almost 12 o'clock here in New York, and no doubt elsewhere, let's say right now in California, being that it's like 3 hours away from us, away from us, behind us, it's like, 8 o'clock there now? Well, approaching 9 o'clock there now. And then again, we could think about places like Germany, 6 hours behind us. If it's 12 o'clock here, if it's 12 o'clock midnight here, it's 6 p.m. there in Germany. And then again, when we go further, let's say, like, as they say, down under, Australia, it's tomorrow already. It's like, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So come on, time can't be for real. And then again, because they can just push time forward and push time back, what time is it really? If we think about it like that. So, hey, but then again, we have to go along with what's said, and I guess everything works itself out, you know? Anyway, well, right now we're coming up on our last minute of the show, and I want to say thank everybody for listening to the show, and hope everybody do join me next week and call in next time. You know, you might have some questions about things that I'm saying. You might wonder, why does he say that? Ask me these questions. I want to give you answers. Yes, I really do. So with that having been said, it looks like we got maybe 30 seconds left. I'm going to go on and sign off so that I won't be just cut off like that, because I don't think that's really somewhat professional, so to speak. So with that having been said, I'm going to say Urban Society signing off, and hope to see everybody or hear everybody next week. Good night.
check. I swear you try me on purpose. I swear we need a ref. Okay. But baby, I am a champion. Lay back, I'll ease all the stress. I hit it from the right, hit it from the left. Lick it from the right, lick it from the left.
I want myself a break. This nigga acting
crazy.
Bedroom like a boxing ring. Got each other's necks all day. Smoking all this
shit.
Trying to get you to stay.
Stay.
Kissing all up on my face. Keep trying to call me babe.
Stay.
It's war with the roses. I hate you. I love you. I fight you. Then fuck you. Sometimes I could feel like you really my nigga. But then I'm like, fuck you. The way that we kissing, the way that you fight it, remind me of Tyson. I'm heated. I'm heated. But I need it. We up in here like. We up in here like.
Rocky.
Hey! The roses, I hate you, I love you, I fight you, then fuck you. Sometimes I could feel like you really my nigga, but then I'm like, fuck you. The way that we kissing, the way that you fight it, remind me of Tyson. Yeah, I'm heated, but I need it.
We up in here like. We up in here like.
Rocky.
Hey!
Look, young Bob like Rocky Balboa. I knock it out for the first round over. I'm a smoker, I'm a stoner, I'm a stroker. I got a belt, I got the title, I'm a holder. Got what you want, got what you need. Huh, I got the size, I got the speed. She hit the bell, I hit the ring. She throw it back, I bob and weave. I bob and weave. Now she rocking on top of me. Baby, please don't stop for me. No tapping out, no time for sleep. You know what I mean, you know what I bring. I'm a Scorpio, you know what I swing. When I hit it from the right, hit it from the left. Scream it in my ear, she gon' leave me there.
So LA with it, I'm just so LA with it.
Yeah.
Wake you up so I can put it in your face, nigga.
Damn.
Get it up, baby, I just wanna play with it.
Bring it, bring
let
it
me play
back.
With
bring
it,
bring
let
it, bring
me,
it,
we
back.
Up in here like. We up in here like.
Rocky.
Hey!
By the Ray, Mila J, I'm so in love.